This is Phil Ferrand. And my wonderful son-in-law, Alan Beauchamp, is driving us home. This is a special edition of Driving Home. He's not really driving us home. He's driving us to Nana's. So we just saw the latest Star Wars movie. We all need to use the restroom except my beloved, who was smart enough to go before the movie. So,
yeah, I could be
you know, we're actually... The lines were too long. So, we have a heightened sense of urgency to get to Nana's. And in the car today, as I already said, it's Alan Beauchamp. Right? And his car is mad because it's cold. So that's what that weird noise is. So we have Alan Beauchamp, who is my beloved son-in-law. We have Amber Jones, who is the fabulous young woman who lives with us. We have Lynette Ferrand, who is my fabulous wife. And then we have my fabulous daughter in the back, Elizabeth Beauchamp. You all say hello.
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 Hello. So anyways, I have to say right off the bat, the most fabulous thing about the movie was that cinemas are now swapping out chairs for real recliners.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we all in there. We relaxed, reseated our recliners, and we thought, okay, this was pretty fabulous. So anyways, Star Wars The Last Jedi.
But is it?
But is it? Dun, really? Dun, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. My coffee has turned into iced coffee now in the car. Drink. So, so we're good. So for anyone who has not seen the movie yet, you should shut this off because we're not going to pay any attention to spoilers. We're just going to talk about the movie, talk about what we thought about it, and then maybe talk about some things that just seem a little off in it. And maybe some maybe some things that seem fun and good, too. Fun and good. I'll start off with the little penguin pudgy...
Bird things.
I thought they were cute.
They were cute.
Especially when he imitated Chewbacca. That was...
Yes, that was very cute. And I liked the whole thing where he is eating one of them and the little thing had his quivering lip. So that was cute. That was cute. Yeah. I would have liked to see Chewie go ahead and just take a bite out of it, but anyways, you know, because...
Well, Hans would have. Hans would have taken a bite out of the bird. He wouldn't have cared. So
yeah, I thought it was a little bit out of character for Chewbacca to actually care. But it was cute, and the infestation and the Millennial Falcon was cute. You know, there was a whole bunch of them there, because that's what happens. They're like cats. They just get in everywhere. So that was cute.
I have a lot of questions.
Yes?
Kylo Ren?
Yes.
Is Ben Solo?
Yes. He is Han and Leia, Princess Leia, Commander Leia, Admiral
General
Leia. General Leia. He is Han and Leia's son.
Son, okay. And he killed his dad.
Yes, in the last movie. Remember in the last movie on the bridge?
Two movies ago.
I don't think I saw that, because that would be Harrison.
Yeah,
because
their last
right?
one was
yes.
when we
saw. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that was
last
your
one was
first
like
movie.
Jen Erso.
Yes.
Was Poe in the last one?
No.
No,
Poe
was
not in the two movies. Okay. That's right. That was your first Star Wars movie.
Yeah, but that one was more of an offshoot. This one
right.
felt like it had more of the
yes.
original characters.
So,
in
yes.
It.
So, let's
and
just
so,
do a quick catch up. Quick catch up.
The other thing is the bad guy, the Supreme.
Yes, Snoke.
That's Snoke, the crazy one with the crater.
Yes,
in
yes.
Face.
Snoke. Emperor Snoke.
Okay.
Snoke.
And
Snoke.
Luke and Leia are siblings?
Mm-hmm. Yes, brother and sister.
So, is Leia's dad also Darth Vader?
Yes.
They
were twins.
Yes, they were twins, and they were separated at birth.
Okay.
To save them.
And so Leia was taken to some...
Organa?
Yeah, and she was like a princess there, and then Luke got the raw end of the deal. He was dumped off on Tatooine...
With his uncle,
who was never around.
But Ben Kenobi, another Jedi, kind of planted close to him to keep an eye on him. So.
Right. So, but he was on this desert planet, and so he didn't know who his parents were. He didn't know anything about anything. And up to this point, we've kind of had this feeling that that children of people who are strong in the Force kind of are strong in the Force. And so there's this idea of, oh, if someone's really strong in the Force, they must be part of the kind of a bloodline.
Right.
Right. And of course, this movie resolved that, which I really liked that part.
I really liked that
also. I really liked that part.
I think that was the only part I liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that things just happen in the universe, and there's no, you know, there are just random things that grow up out of nothing. I like that. Well, and they reinforce that on the end with the little boy.
Well, everyone thought Ray, that Ray's parents
was nobody in.
Right.
Nobody. Yes.
And everyone's been thinking that Ray was somehow connected to the Skywalkers, I think.
Right.
That's kind
it must be their grandson, or it must be somebody.
Well, and they were trying to play up for a little while that she was actually Kylo's brother.
Right.
They deliberately made the connection between Leia and Luke talking, and then it was at the exact same time they cut back and forth. So they were trying to play, she's a part of this bloodline.
Right.
So why is his name Kylo Ren and Ben Solo?
Okay, I think because he took the name Kylo Ren after he converted to the dark side.
What was the first Skywalker's name? First name?
Luke?
Luke Skywalker's dad was
Anakin.
Anakin. So he was Anakin Skywalker, and then changed his name to Darth Vader.
And see, Anakin...
Is he dead at this point?
Yes.
Now? Did he die at the end of the last movie? Because he was in the last movie.
The last movie was a flashback. That's why he was in the last movie.
Yeah, see, the first... There were three movies. If you go strictly according to time, chronology, not how they actually came out, but according to the Star Wars universe chronology, the first three movies are about Anakin Skywalker and his turn to darkness.
Okay.
And so he's Luke's dad. And then the next three movies, 4, 5, and 6, are about Luke and Leia and Han Solo and the kind of defeat of the Empire. Because there's an empire that rises up between the first three movies and the second three movies. And now we're in the third three movies, whatever that is. But the movie that we watched last time was the precursor to number 4. So it happened right before number 4.
Okay.
Back over here.
Well, I do have to say that the lightsabers were much cooler in this film than they were in the last one.
Right.
Because I got a better understanding of how they actually kill someone.
Right.
Because before they didn't look like they did anything.
Right. Well... And in the last one, you weren't really dealing with a whole lot of Jedi. So in that rebellion thing, you really didn't. The Jedi have been this huge part of the seven previous movies, really now at this point. And in that little offshoot one, you basically just had human rebel, alien rebel people running around doing things. So part of the whole lore of Star Wars is the Jedi battling a dark force with the lightsaber. It's very swashbuckling. And so, yeah. So, any other questions?
Why wasn't R2-D2 in it?
R2-D2 was in a little piece of it. Just that little piece. What piece was that?
He was in the Millennium Falcon when Luke Skywalker went into the Millennium Falcon. Wherever he was on the island. So, and then he woke up for a second and showed the video of Leia, and then that was it.
Right. Which was extremely convenient to have him there just show up in the Millennium Falcon. But from a marketing perspective, R2-D2 is sort of old hat, and, the BB-8 is the new cute robot. And according to marketing, you can only have one cute robot at a time because that's where you want to sell all the toys.
And that's the little roller.
BB-8, yeah.
I feel like this would be a good time for me to say one thing in particular that I was thinking the whole time through. I feel like some committee made a checklist of all the key things that makes a Star Wars movie, and they went, check, 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 check.
Right.
And they thought, that's enough. That's
right.
I can go.
I also feel like Disney has got its fangs in this thing, and they're not letting up. I feel like they told them, all right, here's what you need to do. We need to appeal to millennials so we get another 2 decades out of this
thing. Yeah, right. Well, of course.
So the idea, and I get the message that they're trying to put out to pasture all of the old stuff.
Right.
And invest in, but the millennial this whole, those who've gone before have failed us so miserably.
Right, right.
And now we need to just take it and make it our own.
Well, and this whole thing, well, at least what we did is we tore up the town. You know, that's a very 99%er thing. I mean, that's a, it's like, never mind all the businesses, right, who have supplied all these jobs for everybody.
And never mind that they've not actually done anything for the people in need.
Right,
because
right.
The kids are still in slavery. The animals are just going to get caught again.
Right,
like,
right.
They're just going to rebuild. They've got gobs of money.
I may
they
or may have not have added additional commentary throughout the movie to Boy Liz. But at that point, I said, oh, they fixed everything.
Yeah, that's right. They broke some buildings. Now everybody's happy. Yeah, no, I know. That was so like,
But I do think that very clearly they were like, all right, we got to get the millennials. Let's get the millennials here. Because they're going to be the money for the next two decades.
And I felt it was like, okay, we got to have the cute, like, wildlife thing.
Yeah.
Like the because, you know, that's one of the things they talk about with Star Wars is that what was so engaging about it was that it was this real other world.
Right.
All this depth
right.
and the with the nature and the
right.
creatures and all that kind of stuff. We've got to have that. We've got to have the dangerous side mission. We've got to have
right.
the, you know, like, it was just, it felt like very, that they were working so hard to get all the pieces
yeah.
that they felt like
yeah.
were important, that the story had no coherence at
exactly.
all.
Yeah.
That was the other thing.
Yeah.
I felt like they're no longer telling a story.
No.
They're milking the, they're
yeah, yeah,
milking
yeah.
the big
yeah.
beast.
Right? Right, that's right. We got to get the checklist and say, woohoo, yeah, here we go.
Speaking of milking the big beast.
Yeah, that was a bit gratuitous, wasn't
yeah.
it? That never came back. That never what? Yeah, it's like okay. So you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no explanation of gives them superpowers or.
Yeah.
Or you know.
That's just the food he
had.
And
acid reflux and it helps.
Right. You know, the other thing that I thought was interesting, and we actually are going to be back at Nana's here in a few minutes, which this is only supposed to be 20 minutes, so we're going to be back in about 8 minutes, and I don't think any of us are going to want to sit here and keep doing this podcast.
So we're going to talk about the movie now.
So now we're going to talk really fast about some...
Was there anything, I mean, positive that people really, really liked about it?
My favorite thing, besides that moment when she didn't have, when her parents came
right.
from nothing, I thought that was nice. I really like Kylo Ren. Like, of all the characters, I like him the most.
Yeah, yeah.
I really liked, there was a side girl, she didn't have many lines, she maybe, the first girl that talked at the beginning, she had the two pigtail bun things. I thought she was fabulous, and I would have given her a starring role.
Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know. She didn't have a name. She was always there. She was always on, like, one of the star, like, background rebels. And she had a lot. I mean, she had a lot of makeup on, but she had the two. I don't know.
I completely missed her.
I thought she was awesome. I was like, I would have cast her as the lead girl. Probably.
Yeah.
I thought it was a touching moment, and it was not probably meant to be as touching as it was, and it, you know. Looking back on it, between Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher because of her, you know, passing away.
Yeah.
When they were saying goodbye.
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the visuals, I mean, of
oh,
course.
It was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Were gorgeous.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I mean, the salt planet, just mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that I thought all of that worked really well.
Okay,
yeah.
But how did. Oh, well, he wasn't really there. Okay.
No, I think you have to just. Plots
yeah.
don't
right
plot holes. You just
well,
I told Liz I was hoping for like an explanation of where Snoke and the First Order came from.
Right,
we
right.
can suspend
real.
Our disbelief from the first one, but we still don't have that
so
answer.
Is Snoke something new?
Yes,
yeah, he just comes
yes.
out of nowhere.
Yeah, he.
So
see,
but you got to just any plot holes. I mean,
yeah,
and there's tons of them. You could drive all
no,
kinds of
this
trucks.
This wasn't
through.
A plot hole. I told Phil. I said, "Where did Luke Skywalker come from?" And then I wasn't thinking he wasn't. He was just
right, he was just
there.
Projecting himself there.
Because I thought, oh, what did he come through the rocks and put him back?
And that's a Jedi mind trick?
Yeah, it's like a little Jedi.
This is new. There was some new Jedi stuff.
Yeah,
this
there
time,
was.
But there wasn't much lore. I mean, that's. I like sci fi fantasy stuff for the lore of the world.
Right.
And there wasn't much of that.
Right. And yeah, the connective tissue between plot points.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, one of the things that I just went, what? Is, okay, so First of all, the Vice Admiral.
Yeah,
whatever
what
name
it. Wait,
so, and she walks out and she's in an evening gown. So it's like, were you at a cocktail party and you just got called up to duty? But no, she wears the evening gown the entire time. Okay, now women can wear whatever they want, but everybody else is in some sort of military uniform. You know, some kind of identification, and she's in her evening gown with a little tiara the whole time. I mean, it was like, oh, okay. Oh, it's a halo. Okay. So, okay, fine. So her big plan, apparently, was that they were going to sneak the transports off to a mining colony, and then she was going to stay with the ship. Okay, fine. Great. Okay. That's a plan. Sort of a plan. Then they were just going to destroy her transport, and she was going to go down in flames. Then, after half of the transports, two-thirds of the transports get blown up, then, oh, wait, I have an idea. Exactly. I could go to light speed and destroy them.
However.
What? If you're going to go to light speed before two-thirds of your transports are destroyed.
Take the other two that they just decided to let fall back and do the same thing.
Same thing with them.
Do twice the damage.
Right. You know, I mean, did you learn nothing from the kamikaze people? Anyways, you were starting to say
something. Oh, I was just going to say, though, you know, they don't, real time has no, they don't hear about real time. They could have just taken out the two-thirds of just boom, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Really immediately responded. And
I think with these movies, I've just decided, I leaned over to Liz, you just have to completely suspend all disbelief. And don't expect it to make sense.
Right.
And just go along for the ride.
Yeah, because it's all just, it's kind of like little set pieces. They're like little visual set pieces and the connections between them. The other thing was, okay, so Ren then suddenly is looking for the exit. After, so they took the Millennial Falcon, all the fighters went after the Millennial Falcon,
It's and the Chewbacca.
Ray and Chewbacca. It's the flat circular. It's got the two prongs on the front.
Okay.
So all the fighters went after the Millennial Falcon, and then he brought them back when he saw...
I don't know.
And then there's this gap, though, that the Millennium Falcon just disappears. And
it went down in the salt mines and came back
and
out.
And
everybody's gone.
And it lost them all. And then it decided that apparently the battle was over, so it just wandered off and started looking for an exit from...
wasn't necessarily looking for an exit. She was tracking the people with the tracker.
Yeah, but the tracker would have been at the front because she was wearing it and she was still behind the door. So the whole tracker and going and hanging out by the rock slide doesn't make sense. But anyways, so the hacker who somehow had secret knowledge that they were sneaking off of the into transports, he's the one who told them that.
Right.
How would he have known that?
Right.
Yeah. They must have been talking about it.
No, they didn't know. The other two didn't know.
Yeah, because they weren't even...
That was a plan that was that they had hatched on their own without telling anybody.
So
that was their plan.
They had comms going because... The other guy heard. He heard them being shot at or something.
When BB-8 was under the trash can, he shot him the communicator, and they were talking.
Yeah.
So I don't know when that happened in all the timeline. But.
Okay, well maybe he told them then.
I feel like they missed a moment at the end when Ray said, "But how will we have a resistance?" With just this. Because I feel like General...
Leia
should have turned her and said, "Oh, you missed this. We are the spark that will light
flame." Let's underline this. Yeah. There were several other things as I was watching and I was going, "What?"
I feel like if you just get the key idea of what's happening and just let all the dialogue fall away, then you're much happier.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, but this business of thinking in two-dimensional space, too, after you've got spaceships and all this stuff, like, how do we stage a battle? Well, let's bring out all these machines that no one sees until they're right there and line them up in a row and let's march them forward. It's like, what kind of battle tactics are this? We're going to put all of the TIE fighters behind the things. They can't come in from every vector. They just have to come in from this one vector straight in because that's where the big door is.
And where did they get how'd they get that big cannon there?
Yeah, and why is there only one cannon?
And why'd they put it so far away? They drag it.
Drag it.
That's what I told Liz.
Like,
that all said, all of that said, the visuals were very nice.
Gorgeous.
They're going to sell billions of
dollars. Of course they are.
And our opinion. Silent. And I can't remember their names. Rey and Kylo Ren. We're fighting over the lightsaber.
Right.
Broke apart or whatever.
Right.
And then it shot that.
Right.
Light or whatever through and it went silent. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, lots of nice visual effect. That's the other thing about when the big ship, the Snoke's big ship, is actually torn into pieces. So, first of all, the greatest tragedy in the movie is Chrome Dome. You never see her face.
Her
that is the greatest tragedy.
Oh, is she the metal stormtrooper?
Yes. She is, what's her name? Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah.
She is like 6'3", yes. Game of Thrones. I mean, she is an imposing actress. You know, has great facial.
Well, what's the difference between the white stormtroopers and that stormtrooper?
Who knows? They just made her metal for some reason. But she's... It's like, why do you even have Gwendolyn Christie in there? Why don't you just hire someone who's 6'3", who can wiggle her hips a little bit and make it look like she's feminine? You know, I mean, I thought that was the greatest tragedy. But in connection with that, so she's standing right in front of our two people who are about ready to get slaughtered, and then the thing hits, and then suddenly she's way over there.
It's like some troopers.
Coming through the smoke.
Right. What? How did that happen? Anyways,
And even more, I just think Disney is, let's set this thing up for all of the spinoffs.
Yeah,
so at some point, Captain Phasma and her character are going to be something they're going to make money off of.
Right.
So I feel like, that's what I feel like with this whole movie, is they're just trying to set up several more decades worth of money making.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're trying to tell a story. They're just laying groundwork for the future.
Yeah, and that's, that's quite possible. You know, but there were several points when I was sitting there in the movie, it was like, come on, move it forward. Wow. Let's get this done. But then I was like, no, wait, this is meant to be binge watched in 20 years when people sit down, you know. So, anyways, final words?
My last comment to Phil was, boy, John Williams sure writes gorgeous
music. Yeah, he does. He's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous,
just phenomenal.
Gorgeous.
And
even with the music, I never felt like they really hit a moment. There were several when they should have, and they just didn't land it.
Like,
I agree with that.
Yeah. Amber?
Why was Valiant such a bad movie if this one was a good one? Like, if this one's...
Valiant.
Valiant wasn't the one we watched with, What was the last movie I watched with you guys?
Oh, Rogue One?
No, not this type of movie.
Oh.
It's a different movie. Sci-fi. I think it was called Valiant.
Oh. Yeah. Something that wasn't Valiant. Was it Valiant? It may have been. The kid that... It just wasn't believable.
They were both young kids, and they had to go in with their headsets on into a town that you couldn't see.
On Netflix. We watched it on Netflix.
We watched it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway,
no problem.
Really not a good movie. This one seemed a lot like it.
Yeah. Well, it's like I used to say about Stephen King, and it's not original with me. Stephen King could write a phone book, and everybody would think it was great. Because there's a certain fan base that it doesn't really matter what happens in the movies. They're going to go for explosions and beautiful visuals, and they're going to come out and say it's the most amazing movie ever. You know, so, I mean, and it's just the way it is. They've earned that place. Disney has paid billions of dollars for this. They're going to make billions of dollars, you know, and so there it is. And they'll just keep making them. But all that means is that every year we'll have a podcast on our way to 2,000 podcasts.
So my final word.
Yes, final word.
I don't think time is going to be very kind to them. I think the first three time wasn't very kind to. I think they invested too much in visuals and not enough in storytelling.
Yeah.
So I think.
Well, that's the thing. It's got it's got to have some good bones. And well, it just doesn't.
Well, but and the bones, I mean, the bones of A New Hope really is it's the messianic story. It's the messianic archetype where you've got this kid who comes from nothing, Luke Skywalker, and he goes on to defeat. It's the David and Goliath story. You know, that's the archetypal story that the whole thing is based on. But now once you've done that, then where do you go? And if you don't have any other archetypal stories that you can push against to pull everything through, then you end up mumbo-jumboing about the Force, and you end up, you know, so that's really, they need to find themselves that place where they can tell those great mythic stories again, and they just don't have that. So, but...
And they don't have the, like, the Han Solo character that had all these little sly... You know, throwaway line, sarcastic. That
was the other thing. The number 7 was at least fun. It was a romp. And I didn't feel like they were in the slot on this one, even in that capacity, it to be just a fun, enjoyable.
Yeah.
And with 7, I felt like, okay, they covered a lot of ground. The connective tissue wasn't great because they were laying foundation for what was to come. Now I feel like, boy, if they don't hit it with this last one... I mean, because we just keep pushing back, or I felt like they keep pushing it back. And I really do think that they decided to go huge epic with this. But again, it doesn't make sense. They should have gone, for the whole 7, 8, 9, they should have really, I think, narrowed it down and told a much smaller story even, and just get some good characters that people care about.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It'll be interesting. It'll be, anyways, we are Tananas. We are all in need of a bathroom. So we will simply bid you adieu by saying, this is Phil Farrand, and this is...
Ellen.
Amber.
Liz.
Lynette.
Liz.
And we have made it back to Nana's house as I just punched the DVD player in the car. Happy New Year, all.